side joint. Ooh, cult side joint.
Sunny Sunday morning where I am, Amarin. You are, I'm assuming, in some version of Siberia.
Yes. Hell on earth, frozen over, as you can imagine. It's uphill every direction you go in blistering winds. It's your grandparents' worst nightmare and everyday commute. No, everything is fine. It was snowing this morning. It was snowing the grossest snow I've ever seen. It was literally wet sludge. So,
oh yeah.
It's fine.
You have to keep repeating to yourself, this is cozy. This is cozy. Yep. I am cozy.
Yep. Josie can see this, but listeners cannot. I'm wearing a giant little jacket now and I'm all zipped up. So everything is, the world has righted itself for me and I'm here to you know, talk a little bit more about some things that don't necessarily make me feel warm and fuzzy, but definitely keep a fire burning within me, if you will.
Well, we've got, let's jump into it. But before we do, I want to tell you guys a funny story that I promised Amarin I'd tell her when we jumped on. Amarin was just talking about, we were discussing Amazon and whether it's morally okay to procure things there.
So true.
I'd tell her a story when we got on. Our mutual bestie, I'm just going to name her. Her name is Carissa. We like her a lot. She has a brother named Wes, who I grew up with. Wes works at Amazon. Mm-hmm. So there's a distribution center here near our town. So he works there and he does all the kind of like the heavy lifting, like manly kind of back end stuff. And he was just, I just saw him yesterday and he was just telling me the story of a young man, like 20 or so, got hired on. And it's a hard job. It's, you know, equivalent to like a construction job. And so the kid got hired on and they were like, hey, Wes, go train this kid. And he's like, okay. So Wes goes over to the kid and Wes is older. Life has hit Wes the way that it's hit a lot of us, just punched us right in the face. So Wes goes over to the kid and he's like, hey, okay, do you know how to drive a forklift? And the kid's like, no. And Wes's like, okay, well, do you know how to use like these power tools? And the kid was like, no, but I can learn. And Wes goes, sure. Well, do you have a wife and family? And the kid was like, no. And Wes goes, do you have like a child support case or anything that you got to deal with? And the kid was like, no. And Wes goes, are you divorced? And the kid was like, no. And Wes goes, are you struggling with any kind of addiction? And the kid was like, no. And Wes goes,
oh my God.
Wes goes, I hate to tell you this, but I don't think it's going to work out for you here.
This isn't your place, potentially, my friend.
I don't think this is going to be the right place for you.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Oh my goodness. It's going to work out, buddy.
It does take a particular kind of resolve to hang in at the Amazon warehouses. I do know a couple people that have worked and work in the warehouses, and it is quite a shift from what I have heard. I have worked at Target, as I've lamented before, in the warehouse section, and I can only imagine it's that, but about 40 times worse and with more robots. You know, I don't know if that's true or if I'm just having sort of an active nightmare here, but it's what I imagine.
It's not looking good. I just thought that was, I don't think this is going to work out for you, buddy.
Buddy, this is not looking great.
Real well adjusted from where I'm standing. So, okay. And so just before we dive back in, we're on part two, everybody, of QAnon. Welcome back to Cults I Joined, by the way. But just before we go on, in case there are weird sounds coming from my end, here's what's going on. I've mentioned before, I have really great neighbors and really insane dogs. So it's a sunny day here and people are out like getting their yard work done in the middle of winter. And I say that to say my neighbors are an extremely musical family. They have three kids. One of them runs the opera here in town. One of them is an international opera star who they just went to watch get knighted in Paris for how great he is at operating. And then their daughter is on Broadway. So they're very musical. They're the best neighbors ever. But they keep taking work breaks and singing to my dogs over the fence.
Oh, my goodness.
My dogs get really excited about it.
How could you ever be mad at that? Oh. So,
you might hear that in the background, just a precursor for the recording sesh.
Noted. Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. All right. With that, any trepidation as we go back into part two of QAnon? Or are you just ready to dive into the glass shard filled pool?
Trepidation about Q? What are you talking about? I'm ready to go head first.
Okay, well, let's start with sex trafficking. We left off with the conspiracy theories.
Yes, we did.
So we're back into them. If you have noticed QAnon in your peripheral vision, you have probably noticed how obsessed they are with sex trafficking. They cannot stop talking about it. It's the whole world is sex trafficking to them. That and obviously the blood of babies that is converted into adrenochrome to keep a few people young, despite their continuing to visibly age.
Why aren't they giving this working?
You know what's crazy to me is they never stop talking about how old Biden is, but it sounds like he's got access to all this adrenochrome.
Biden was anything like the way that these people fear he is, just like a sliver,
he'd
be a way better president. I'll say it. I'm brave.
Well, his Botox would be more animated, I think, would be certainly, at least, at the very least.
Certainly, he would have much better Botox. He would have more than like two different faces that he could do, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like there would be signs, you know. There's that little meme or thing that people were saying for a while that was like, you know, I wouldn't tell anybody if I won the lottery, but there would be signs. And I feel like that applied to this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal, but I see no signs, you know?
No.
It's the same thing with the lizard people deal, which was like probably the most popular conspiracy. I know we talked about this last week, but probably the most popular one that I associated with Q.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. In like real time, the one that we joked about like daily for a while was the lizard people thing. For some reason, it was very top of mind for us in 2020. And
It's because we covered another cult. It was top of mind because we were talking about the eternally free people. What are they called? Sovereign citizens.
Yes. Well, I'm saying at the time in 2020. Yes.
Carry on.
But it is very top of mind in general. Lizard people stay on my mind. I want to be very clear. The Geico lizard,
very upsetting.
I think about him a lot. Mm-hmm. That's not a joke. He constantly stays on my mind. But these people's ability to stretch the imagination rivals me as a child, and I had a damn good imagination. And these people are doing it as adults. And on that level, I'm honest to God, I feel a little envious of these people at this point. Because I'm kind of like, how did you suspend your disbelief this hard? I am trapped in the daily grind more than you are, I think.
Well, you are. But I don't think I want to live in a world where anybody can peel their skin back and be a lizard person.
No, you're absolutely right for checking me there. That got way too off the rails. I got way too enthusiastic about how much creative liberty these people have taken. It definitely was exercised to such an extent that you can't get behind it at all. Yeah,
it sounds very stressful to me.
It sounds so stressful.
I'm really thankful. I mean, we did a lot of suspended disbelief as children growing up in very Christian communities. And I worked really hard to ground my feet in regular reality.
Yeah.
I needed that because like, I didn't like believing that the world was going to end. I hated it. It was really stressful. And I don't want to think that there are lizard people everywhere. Why would you pick that as your delusion?
It's such a good question.
That's a shitty delusion. Like, if you're just going to pick anything, I don't know. But these are the kind of people, and I say this with full confidence because, again, I grew up with these literal people. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, these are the kind of people who enjoy a fear-based life. I don't know why, mm-hmm. and they are the first people to tell you that they don't live in fear, and that's why they don't wear masks, and they don't do this and that. But, like, you're stockpiling a lot of weapons for somebody who doesn't live in fear. They just love that battle of good and evil. And actually, that's the first thing I have in my notes here. QAnon users are notable for holding simplistic mental models regarding the battle between good and evil. Mm-hmm. There's no nuance. There is just good and evil. And you can knock people into those sections really easily. And you never have to look back. And you and you will do anything to stop evil, including kill. Your church probably didn't do this because it wasn't a crazy militia, but mine would often kill check you. Could you kill your neighbor? You need to know you can.
Can you, though? Well, I would say we were just like less on the nose because we were definitely like, we just didn't follow all the way through at the reasoning. I'm sure you know what I mean. Like it was like, we were ready, but no one would say like, to kill your neighbor, right? We would just say the first part and leave it as like a dangling sentence. Right. And then we it would be like, well, we're ready. You guys were just more committed, which I respect, to finishing the sentence, because our neighborhood was definitely like preparing. On some level, though, I have to justify that for our family, because like I've told you before, there was a dude that was basically a sovereign citizen, whether he admitted to that or not, that lived really close to us and was fully doing all of this. So we sort of had to defensively be like,
are you ready for this guy?
We're not so true. We're watching you, buddy. I don't know.
Bob up the road here. You got to
lock one eye open. Yep. Mm-hmm. Binoculars out.
Well, Q, that's how we feel about all of you now, which is relevant because we're going to get to what fucking literal assholes you are this time. All right, let's do it. So first, we're going to talk about sex trafficking. We left off last time talking about the many conspiracy theories, lizard people notwithstanding. But one of their favorite conspiracy theories is that they're constantly keeping an eye out for sex trafficking. Sex trafficking is definitely the new satanic panic. And here's the thing. I remember, again, when I went to my sister's evangelical church, which is just swamped with Trump shit now, at the time, the tide was turning. This stuff was all like in front of us, but like we were all like on the cusp, and I didn't know it because I was not, I don't sit around reading 4chan. I definitely picked up on the vibes, and I heard the rhetoric, and I heard it turning, and I heard it picking up catchphrases, and I didn't know what was going on, but I found it to be really gross. And I noticed a lot more like overt sexism and overt racism in the church. Now, this is a church that is maybe a third people of color. So it's not a white church.
Sure.
But and yet they were so comfortable being racist from the podium. I'll use an example because this was during Black Lives Matter. A contingent of the church had gone up to Jefferson City, which is the capital city in Missouri. So they'd gone up to see the state legislature, and they were like going to support some like anti-choice bill, I'm sure. But they were up there to, you know, hate women just generally. And there was a Black Lives Matter protest at the grounds on that day. And so the white dude who was standing on the stage was telling the church audience about how they went up there. And there was a Black Lives Matter protest. And he was like, oh, and they were just all in the hallways with their drums and their yelling. And thank goodness I had LaQuisha with me, so I felt safe. He literally said, thank goodness I had a Black person with me so that I, a white man who would have, I guess, otherwise been attacked by these peaceful protesters.
Attacked?
He could feel safe. And he basically, that's basically another way to say, like, I have a Black friend, right? I'm cool, guys. But anyway, I that was where I was at when this stuff was blossoming out. And I was like, y'all are super gross. Like, how do the people of color, if not the white people in this church, not hear what you just said? How? And the church was like, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, I don't think you guys sound uncomfortable enough in your reaction to this. Like,
no,
I can't. I don't think so. That's a 3-hour drive from here that LaQuisha had to make back with this piece of shit. Blech. Anyway, but at the same time, they kept having all these anti-sex trafficking preachers come through, like, or movements. They'd sell their little t-shirts and their little CDs, and they'd be like, oh, this all goes to stop sex trafficking. And I was still a sex worker at the time, as in I worked in a club, which is considered to be a sex worker if you work in a strip club. And so, you know, I was really paying attention to what they were saying in their language. And it's not like I'm pro sex trafficking, and I couldn't parse out what was going on that made me not like these people, right? Like, I should agree with you that none of us like sex trafficking, but it felt slimy. It felt disingenuous, and I couldn't put my finger on it at the time. And I was like, why don't I like this movement, which seems like a statement we can all agree with? Here's why.
Right. Okay.
Here's why. Let's get into it. So, the thing about QAnon and their yammering about sex trafficking goes like this. The procurement by force, deceit, or drugs of a white woman or girl against her will for prostitution is the way that QAnon, the only way that QAnon discusses sex trafficking. Right? So first of all, human trafficking is actually the issue here. So there's a shit ton of human trafficking. The bulk of that is not sex trafficking. It's labor trafficking.
Right.
But QAnon doesn't even touch that, partly because they don't give a shit if a bunch of colored people are being trafficked for labor. They, to their core, do not care. Right. But also, even if you're going to squint and ignore all of the labor trafficking, which really, really matters, and only talk about sex trafficking, which isn't necessary. If you're going to talk about human trafficking, you can bring the whole tent in and talk about the issue. But they're going to ignore all of the labor, you know, partly because, like, if you talk about labor trafficking, you've got to talk about U.S. immigration. And that's not a problem they know how to solve. So they're just not going to touch any of that at all. Or, you know, they're not going to stop eating grapes, which were definitely picked by migrant workers, you know?
Right. Like, yes.
So none of that is on the table. So they're going to squint and only talk about sex trafficking. But even in the world of sex trafficking, again, it leans more into people of color simply because everybody who's ever watched a Dateline about serial killers knows people of color are less looked for. They are less propped up in the media with their face everywhere. So they are better victims for people out perpetrating crimes. And yet when QAnon talks about sex trafficking, they exclusively talk about white women. And, you know, that's because that's all they care about. That they're, you know, it's nothing but that. That's the issue to them. But it's hugely problematic when sex trafficking is real and human trafficking is real. Okay, I'll get back to my notes now. The ways in which QAnon profiles victims of human trafficking simultaneously strengthens the conflation of human trafficking with exclusively sex trafficking, despite other forms of trafficking exploitation having been found to be more prevalent globally, which is what I just said. Like, there's more human trafficking than sex trafficking, quite a bit more. The systemic devaluing of trafficked individuals ignored by QAnon's profiling, people of color, immigrants, people who identify as gender non-binary, underpins historical structural inequities that have been built into the United States' response to human trafficking. At the core of both, we see racialized and gendered roles of feminine, helpless and protectionless by traditional institutions, right? So basically, we take everybody out of the equation except a couple of, like, young, quote, innocent girls. And that's what sex trafficking is about. And now we get to be the white saviors that come in and save these girls who are their ideal of what an innocent bride-to-be might be.
Absolutely. Yes. Damsel in distress. Yes.
Yes. So then everyone else is out of the picture and everybody in this crowd is whipped up into a frenzy because young girl bride-to-bees are quite precious to them, as we all know, because they're basically fucking currency, right?
Yes.
This is our currency. You can't take our currency.
It's owned property, needs to be returned.
Yes. QAnon's public messaging carries adverse implications for survivors and the anti-trafficking movement. Resources invested in inaccurate information divert resources and effort from supporting victims and survivors. In fact, QAnon's campaign could threaten the bipartisan support extended to the issue, driving potentially ineffective and dangerous policies based on inaccurate information, right? Because if we're making laws based on the three missing pretty white girls, then the laws aren't going to be made to consider all the people actually being affected who we have to find funding for, keep a lookout for, on and on and on. It perpetuates systemic biases and ultimately reinforces inequitable funding cycles, screening efforts, and care coordination. So it's not just shitty, right? It's harmful to people actually being trafficked. And it's disingenuous because it's not talking about the real problem at all. It's just a passion point. It's like when people campaigned on being pro or anti-choice for years and years and years, when that wasn't actually something that was going to be changed in the courts. I mean,
exactly.
Recent history being put aside, but it's just a way to whip people up when you are actively not helping them. But not only is QAnon not helping them, they're fucking hurting them. And that's why I struggle so much, and I said this at the first episode, to be empathetic to this movement or the people inside of it, because it's so harmful and so nasty and so hate-filled and so vitriolic, and it really affects people's lives. Who is in more need of help than people who are being trafficked for any reason? Not right. A lot of people. That's the bottom of the barrel. That is some disempowerment. And these motherfuckers who are self-disempowered are excited to trample across those people to feel like saviors to the two people who look like they want them to look. And then they can get their emotions all tied up in it. And they can feel like saviors if they catch Jeffrey Epstein, which again, they didn't do, but they took credit for, you know, right. And I just like, if we were covering a group and that group worships mallard ducks and every Wednesday and full moon, they just go out and like honk all night. Like, I would be like, okay, all right, what are you guys doing? Because it's completely silly, but it's not harming anyone. So, like, I'm interested in your scene. I'll come to your duck potluck. I assume they're not eating ducks. They're inviting them over. But this isn't like that. This isn't a wacky duck cult. This is a bunch of people being assholes and making the world a worse place. And so that is why it is hard for me to sound empathetic. I will continue to attempt to remember that they are people, but the movement is some shit. All right. So there's also a lot of false storytelling tied up in this, disinformation and narratives of stolen innocence and virtue that position trafficked persons into victims with feminine identities centered around purity, innocence, and motherhood are problematic. Again, it leaves out all the non-binary people who are trafficked, which is also like a large niche market. For lack of a nicer term, QAnon-related images have been shown to markedly overrepresent preteen white children when compared to the evidence on actual child trafficking demographics. It tokenizes and sensationalizes real trauma while simultaneously appropriating the anti-trafficking movement for political incentives. So it's shitty. In short, it's shitty. It's a shitty way to co-opt an important movement, distill it down to having less power, and then spread some more disinformation, and then fucking pat yourselves on the back all night for being such great warriors.
It's comically bad. It's literally doing the opposite of helping.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, that's where I get stuck, because I don't understand how they don't understand that. Except, again, that they're in an information loop. And they are not interested in understanding it. And that's where I get stuck again and again. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
QAnon people, feel free to explain to me how you feel good about yourselves. But I don't think you can, because I don't think you can give me an objective answer. Maybe someone who's left the club, which people have. All right. Onward we go. Let's talk about some real violence perpetrated by people who believe in this movement. The FBI domestic terror assessment put them at I believe they actually listed QAnon along with Christian Identity, like the white separatist movement, as being a bigger threat than any non-domestic terrorist group. Mm, I believe that's been on the table a fair amount. In May 2019, the FBI Intelligence Bulletin memo identified QAnon-driven extremists as a domestic terrorism threat. The FBI assesses these conspiracy theories very likely will emerge, spread, and evolve in the modern information marketplace, occasionally driving both groups and individual extremists to carry out criminal or violent acts. There was, of course, we all know, the attack on the U.S. Capitol. Multiple QAnon-affiliated protesters participated in the disturbance. Rioters were either seen wearing clothing with Q-related emblems or identified as QAnon followers from video footage. Ashley Babbitt, that was the rioter who was shot dead by police as she was trying to break into the speaker's lobby. She was, like, smashing through a window and trying to come in. And they shot her, you know, based on that being a shootable offense. She was a committed follower of QAnon. The day before the attack, she had tweeted, "The storm is here and it is descending upon DC in less than 24 hours. She's someone are you familiar with this particular person?
Oh yeah. Cameron? Very familiar.
Yeah. Yes. She is, because she died in this protest, she is a person that I have all these years really struggled to like, okay, that's an individual human being. I can look at her. Mm-hmm. She lost her life. That is very sad. I struggle with empathy for her. I do. Do you, or is it easy for you to feel empathy for her?
I don't know that I...
Or you haven't tried the exercise particularly.
No, I think that I don't necessarily feel empathy for her beyond the fact that I, of course, I'm sure as you feel, I'm not like, oh, and you should die. And that's great.
No.
You know, if, and I don't think anybody feels that way. So it's not a lack of, like, I am sorry that it resulted in ultimately her demise. That would be my outcome that I would hope for the situation. However, I don't find it easy to look at the situation and feel much more than a lot of really bad choices were made that made kind of a, had a sensical reaction that followed and it could have been prevented. And I think that makes it even sadder, right? On some level, but I wouldn't call it empathy at all. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely think it's just sad, but not an empathetic sad. Well just stated. Like, you're right. It's sad. But it's also like, oh, it's kind of disappointing.
You jumped in a shark tank and a shark bit you. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
I'd be super bummed out to hear about the story of an adult human being walking off the edge of a cliff totally on their own and thinking that they could fly and it going really poorly. You know, that would really bum me out. They also literally walked into that.
So and I think what makes me kind of mad at people like Ashley and including Ashley is the idea that I think Ashley felt completely safe going armed and with vocal social media threats and physically breaking into our Capitol and disregarding orders of cops because I think she thought, I'm a white woman.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to happen to me.
Yeah, that's where it is very easy to feel a lot of vitriol towards her and others as figures that were involved in that situation, some of whom I know we've said this before, but people, some of whom we know who chose to go up to the Capitol. And it's a very solemn day, I'm sure for you as well. I know it was for America, but there's a special kind of solemnness that you feel whenever you recognize people in situations like that. Like, that really hurts, guys. That does not feel good. And you're just kind of like, well, no, oh no. Yeah, I would say it's really sad at a high level, but it's also really hard to empathize with people that were so rejecting, as we've already kind of talked about, but to bring up again, simultaneously being so intense about the Black Lives Matter demonstrators and about anybody that was showing some kind of support for this, some of which was violent, some of which was did involve lighting things on fire and some intense stuff.
I'll say again, though, that was always property destruction, which is different than hurting people.
It certainly is. And so, you know, like there are, it is nuanced. There are other elements in play. But I think when you see the confidence of these people, as you've already pointed out, going into the White House, going into this place that should be at this level of protection, that is at this level of protection with that level of just arrogance and brazenness of attitude, it is a slap in the face and it is very upsetting to people that have seen them treating other people with a total hypocritical double standard that they're not applying to their own selves while rejecting simultaneously that they have privilege. Because they're literally acting on that privilege. And they're acting on it, it acknowledges that they have it by them, which is very frustrating. I remember what that felt like at the time. It was so maddening. I felt like I could pull out all of my hair individually. It was the worst.
I was at a Black Lives Matter protest in Springfield. You're from Springfield. It was on Glenstone and Battlefield, which for those of you who don't know are like
protest kind of
the two big. They're the two big streets in the town with the most traffic, and they intersect. And so both of the like the curve there was permitted. So it was actually like they got a permit. They were illegally shut down streets with barricades and police to watch. And you know what? Some white motherfucker with his little friends and a real live Confederate flag in the back of his truck drove past the barricades, drove into the crowd and hit people in the crowd and spun around in a donut in a very packed crowd, broke somebody's leg. I was, I don't know, 10 feet away from the people who were getting hit. Like Black Lives Matter people don't do that shit. These people do.
Yep.
This guy
only
did.
See it from one proud, defined group that repeatedly also, takes claim of it.
He drove away. Cops everywhere. He just drove away. Nobody went after him. Nobody went after him. To this day, like, let me find that guy. But yeah, no, he just drove away. The cops didn't stop him. And so did he think that he could drive into a crowd of people who were legally permitted to be speaking their minds and drive over them and break someone's leg and then drive away. He did think so. And did. Was he right? He was right.
He was. He yeah. certainly was right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's sobering. And it may seem like we're talking about two different extremes right now. You know, like we're talking about, we're not, because there's a lot of gray area in between, so to speak, to use that phrase, that is still affected by both of these sides and by the opinions and biases and rumors kind of spread by both sides. And I think it really matters that people prove out for themselves what these things actually look like, because there will come a time again when this is relevant and people will try to lie about what other people are doing in their practice of protest. And you can't just listen to people if you're not there. You can't just listen to people if you don't know. You just, it's not something you can do. Mm-hmm. If you want to be right, you can literally do it. You'll just probably be misinformed.
Yeah, sure, sure.
I realize now that I speak in error. You're allowed to do that, Q. Allow me to resign myself to the truth. You'll just be idiots, kind of.
You'll be idiots,
for doing that, if I'm being honest.
So another example of the violence and the violent rhetoric, Lynn Wood, who was part of the Trump's law team, worked in the White House with him at the time of January 6th, said, here's a nice little nugget I'm sure you remember, said that Pence would face execution by firing squad for treason. A few hours before the count started on January 6th, Wood tweeted publicly that Pence should resign immediately and that charges should be brought against him, because he wanted Pence to stop the legal vote. He wanted him to just stop it.
Yes, they did want the legal vote to be stopped, and they were very upset that Pence was not showing the same animosity towards the system that he signed up for.
Right. After the attack on the Capitol, Wood called Pence, quote, a child molester on Twitter. Mm-hmm. After his Twitter account was suspended, Wood used Parler, which was the racist Facebook at the time.
I remember Parler.
To call again for Pence's execution by firing squad. On December 19th, 2018, by the way, I got a membership on Parler just so that I could go there and see if the people who were being racist on Facebook were actually more racist than they were.
Same. Yes.
Yeah, I did that. And it turns out they're exactly the same amount of racists. They were just double posting everything. I was like, oh, wow. You're actually comfortable putting out this, like, you maxed out and you feel good about it.
That's so funny, because I'm not going to go on at length, but I literally had an identical experience, and I didn't know what you were going to say, but I was hoping I was going to be able to counter it by saying I found that they were actually exactly the same.
That's
and
so
it turns
weird.
Out everybody is just out here talking a big game and then posting like mediocre, veiled, passive aggressive comments.
On both,
which is, looks very dumb. Linda.
Yeah.
It looks dumb.
Linda. I went on Parler to be like, I'm going to catch your dumb ass. And then I was like,
no point in being a double agent when everybody's just
out there in these streets talking about
mild. Yeah.
Yep. They are exactly the level of racist they say they are. So
they did not want to catch
these
hands.
Worse.
Yep. They were genuinely scared, and they should have been. We literally were all ready to catch them in their evilness.
All right. Yep. Nice try, though. All right. On December 19, 2018, a California man whose car contained bomb-making materials he intended to use to, quote, blow up a satanic temple monument in Springfield, Illinois, in the Capitol Rotunda there, to, quote, make Americans aware of Pizzagate and the New World Order, who were dismantling society. That guy was arrested. So glad we caught him first, but going to bomb the Capitol.
Very scary. Great.
The Weather Underground bombed the U.S. Capitol way back in the day. And I love me some Weather Underground. But you know what they did? They called in a bomb threat. They took it very seriously. They made sure that the building was really closed out and there was nobody in it. Because, again, property destruction and people destruction are not the same thing. I'm just going to go out in front here and say that this guy didn't plan to clear that area.
No, he didn't. I think I don't want to speak out of turn, but I remember when this happened at the time. And I'm fairly certain that we know that he didn't intend to clear it from something that they came up with. And this is a genuinely terrifying period of time. I don't know if you felt that way. I'm guessing you did, being in Springfield. Yeah. But like, speaking personally, and maybe everyone felt like this everywhere, but speaking personally, like, I was genuinely very scared at this period of time, and not like in an abstract sense. I lived very, very close to the Idaho State Capitol, and there were a lot of protests and people walking around with guns that didn't necessarily look legal. all the time. And they were out there a lot. And it was, yeah, it was really scary. And sometimes I still have moments where I get overwhelmed when a demonstration goes on too long. And I wish that I wasn't in that space, but that is the space that these acts of domestic terror and threats of domestic terror have put into still 2024, you know, which sucks.
I mean, I'll say something that's really embarrassing to me to this day, which is that I didn't put a Black Lives Matter sign in my yard, which isn't like me. It when all this was going on was actually the time when I said Black Lives Matter on a video at a farmer's market, and I was getting death threats from as far away as Idaho. Mm-hmm. And some of those people had said, I saw their comments that said, like, I know this girl. I know where she lives. I can help you guys find her, because those people are from the churches I'm from. So I was scared enough that I didn't put that sign in my yard, even though I felt, you know, kind of honor bound, obviously, to show solidarity, which is something I normally would always do. I had a 10-year-old son. Mm-hmm. I just felt I had animals out in the yard. I just felt like I couldn't risk our safety, really, like our real.
No, absolutely. Safety. Yeah. So I remember those comments. I helped moderate those comments, and that was real. There were thousands of them, first of all, for people that don't know. And they were really, which I don't know if we've ever really said the scale. It like genuinely went viral in a way that only the worst things do, right? Because that's the first time we ever had something go viral at the farmer's market like that.
Yeah.
and we deserve more virality for that farmer's market. I'll just call out that you guys. It's like one of the biggest outdoor markets in the U.S. And it's fantastic. It's really big. I've been to ones that say they're better that aren't. So go there, guys. And while you're there, give a hearty Black Lives Matter yell from the top of your lungs as a private entity that can't be harassed.
I'll just say this one thing and then we'll get back to it. The person who was like following me around and filming me and ended up ultimately like releasing that video and having my life threatened. It was a guy and a woman, and they were probably late 20s, early 30s, but I called the police while they were following me because they were also hitting me as they were following me around, filming me. And so I was on the phone with the police, and the police said, no, can you give a description of the two? And, oh, the guy has, you know, dark eyes, dark hair. And I said, the woman's probably in her 40s.
Oh, my God.
Just be catty. And the girl was really mad. She was like, how dare you?
What an amazing thing to say. Well, racism ages you like a motherfucker. So what can I say? It's a bad look, queen. It's a bad look.
I still relish that. She saw it. She caught
that
it.
That is freaking hilarious. I can't believe it. Oh, my God. The woman, she looks to be pushing 75.
I don't know.
She fell out of the crypt? Jesus Christ.
Life has not been kind to her, officer. I can tell you that.
I can tell she smokes from just looking at her.
And, for sure.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry. That's enough. But I all do right, okay. Good to get a little roast in on the lady.
Yeah. All right. So QAnon also exists in other countries, exists in 71 countries worldwide as of January 2021. German and Japanese QAnon movements are strong and growing. There's JAnon, Q Army Japan, and Yamato Q. In April 2022, the Tokyo Metropolitan Police arrested several members of Yamato Q for breaking into a health clinic which provided COVID-19 vaccinations. Mm. Way to make the world a better place, guys.
Yes.
Between March and June 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic, QAnon activity nearly tripled on Facebook and nearly doubled on Instagram and Twitter. In Russia, a similar conspiracy theory, the Soviet citizens, which claims that the Russian Federation is a Delaware-based LLC that occupies the legal territory of the Soviet Union. Oh, that's interesting. So we've got our sovereign citizens that believe that we're, our government's not real because really we're run by the post office and we disbanded after the president in the 1800s. So the Russians made a Soviet citizens fucking fairy tale, which claims that the Russian Federation is a Delaware-based LLC.
Wow.
That's what Russia actually is. It's just a company in Delaware that's occupying Russia. So they don't have to believe any rules either. In October 2021, a French QAnon-associated conspiracy theorist was charged with terrorism for having planned a coup against the French government. Various associates of this man were also arrested and charged in 2022. Many Canadians have also promoted QAnon. Canada, you're supposed to be better than this.
Don't let us down like that, neighbor.
In 2020, a gunman and QAnon follower drove a vehicle into the grounds of Rideau Hall, the temporary residence of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, to, quote, arrest Trudeau over COVID-19 restrictions and firearm regulations. Romana Didulo, I hope I'm saying that right. Actually, I don't care. She doesn't sound nice. A Philippines-born Canadian woman claiming to be Canada's rightful queen. Oh, we talked about her.
I remember Canada's rightful queen, of course.
Yes. Built an online following in the course of 2021, creating a cult-like organization using QAnon and sovereign citizen concepts. Because of Didulo's network of followers and calls for violence, researchers identified her in 2022 as one of the most dangerous QAnon influencers in Canada, which maybe isn't saying that much because Canadians are so lovely and nice, but still.
Right.
Not great.
Yeah. Not a good look.
German Reichsbürger groups adopted QAnon to promote its belief that modern Germany is also not a sovereign republic, but rather a corporation created by allied nations after World War II, and expressed hope, get ready for this, that Trump would lead an army to restore the Third Reich.
Yes, knew that was coming.
Yeah, that train's never late. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, so those are some of, oh, and it wasn't in here, but let's not forget the crazy person who attacked Nancy Pelosi's elderly husband with a fucking hammer.
Really bad.
What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Get your shit together, QAnon.
Yeah, really gross behavior. Really nasty stuff here.
Again, unattractive. So let's talk about cognitive dissonance, because for all of these wild and extreme beliefs that these people are literally willing to die or kill for, they never come true. They never pan out. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Q has often made specific predictions that did not prove correct. For example, I'm going to read you a list of things that they were very excited about that did not happen.
Nice. Please do this. This is fun.
I've been waiting for this.
I'm excited.
Hillary Clinton was about to be arrested and would attempt to flee the country. Oh, I see my neighbors approaching the fence. I think there's going to be some.
Is it time for singing? Okay.
We love the puppies. All right. Sorry. John Podesta would be arrested on November 3rd. They get really specific with dates, which is such a bad idea for cult leaders. Bad move.
I was shocked in real time watching this happen. But as I've said, I did have close acquaintances that were touting all of this at the time. So I would watch the specific dates come up and I would just wait with joy and anticipation. Remember, we're bored at this time. I was still on lockdown when some of this was going on. So I have nothing to do. I'm interested.
Yeah, it's but then we get to watch them just twist themselves up into pretzels, finding reasons why this is all fine, which is the definition of cognitive dissonance. We're getting there. So John Podesta would be arrested on November 3rd, 2017, and public riots would be organized to try and prevent the arrest of other public officials. Okay, didn't happen. A major event involving the Department of Defense would take place on February 1st, 2018. Did not happen. People targeted by Trump would commit suicide en masse. People targeted by Trump, he would just not like them. And then they would all commit suicide en masse on February 10th, 2018.
Well, it's just like Q+ is that powerful. Just the mental thought that he doesn't like you is enough. You know, for me, it was like a source of power knowing that if Trump ever met me, he wouldn't like me. So I can imagine maybe the opposite being true for someone else, since I know it was such a bolster for me.
Right. There would be a car bombing in London around February 16th, 2018. A smoking gun video of Hillary Clinton would emerge in March 2018. Oh my gosh, I bet they were just coming all over themselves waiting for that. Something major would happen in Chongqing in, guys, I'm sorry, I'm not great at any pronunciations anywhere. So on April 10th, 2018, none of these things happened. There would be a, quote, bombshell revelation about North Korea in May 28th. What more bombshell could there be about North Korea? There's nothing.
North Korea! There's wanted nothing. You guys to know.
Literally, the bombshell would be like, they have enough groceries for their people.
Yes. Things are going better.
Yeah, people are experiencing freedoms. The Trump military parade would, quote, never be forgotten. I mean, I guess. Okay. The Five Eyes, quote, won't be around much longer. I don't know what the Five Eyes are. I didn't find that in my research. We'll have to back that up at some point. Mark Zuckerberg was going to leave Facebook and flee the United States. Didn't get that one. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey would be forced to resign next in the context of the prediction of Zuckerberg's resignation. So it would be Mark would go down. Then the Twitter guy would go down. Then let's see. Oh, Pope Francis would have, quote, a terrible May in 2018.
Oh my God. That's just like a horoscope reading. That's my favorite one so far. For you, I'm seeing a bad May. Sorry for Tauruses.
Yeah, not your month. On multiple occasions, Q has dismissed these incorrect predictions as deliberate, claiming that disinformation is necessary. Oh, well then, fuck me. You can't lose. If the disinformation was necessary, you can't not.
It's the perfect way out because you're always just sowing these little seeds of doubt and confusion, and it works out however you want it to work out every single time, which is great.
Yeah. Here's a couple more things that they believe that were absolutely batshit crazy. That the CIA installed North Korean leader Kim Jong-un as a puppet ruler. The CIA did that. Listen, the CIA does do terrible shadowy things. I don't see the benefit in this particular one. That the U.S. representative and former Democratic National Committee Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz hired Salvadorian gang MS-13 to murder DNC staffer Seth Rich. Who doesn't hire Salvadorian gang MS-13 to do your dirty work here in the U.S.?
Sounds like they did their research, you know?
I don't see any flaws in this plan. No. An apparent suggestion that German Chancellor and Angela Merkel is Adolf Hitler's granddaughter. Okay. That Obama, Hillary Clinton, George Soros, and others are planning a coup against Trump. And I don't know why they'd need to since the Democrats are in office, but they're planning a coup against Trump and are involved in an international child sex trafficking ring. There's that oldie but goodie again. That old chestnut. That the Mueller investigation was a counter coup led by Trump, who pretended to conspire with Russia to hire Mueller to secretly investigate the Democrats and expose the child sex trafficking ring. Man, Trump, so good to the littles.
Always the thinking Rothschild about him.
Family. Oh, yeah, always. He's just, I mean, he's, you know, he's a great guy. That the Rothschild family leads a satanic cult, a centuries-old anti-Semitic trope against the family. That's true. That's been going around for 100 years. After Trump lost the 2020 election, the rate of Q's posts sharply declined. I think for a moment post that election, whoever was doing the Q shit was like, oh, well, the jig is up.
Yep, it seems like it.
Stop posting altogether 1 month later. The last drop for 18 months was on December 8th, 2020. And then I think he just watched it like just continue to burn and was like, well, I guess I can just jump back in here. One key tenet in QAnon's narrative until the 2020 election was the recurring prediction that Trump would be reelected in a landslide and spend his second term bringing about the storm. I don't know why he didn't do it in his first 4 years, but they were very like that. Just now it's the second 4 years that's gonna be the storm.
They just kept delaying anything. Everything just kept getting pushed back. And it was just like, even if he would have gotten reelected, it would have been the same thing for 4 more years. And they would have just kept saying, well, if he when he comes back as Supreme Emperor,
right,
then he's gonna get
storms are coming.
And then as Galactic Overseer, he'll be able to really come in. And the whole time Trump will just be like golfing.
For sure. And whining about the angles people take his picture of when he's golfing. You look bad at all your angles, dump truck.
Not the angle, bud.
That's what I try to tell myself, too. But it's just is what it is. Cameras are cameras. All right. Spent his second term bringing about the storm by undoing the deep state, disbanding the cabal, and arresting its leaders. After Trump lost and Q stopped posting, QAnon followers continued to search for previously unseen clues in old posts or creating new spinoffs of the theory. So again, as we said at the beginning of this, the biggest predictor of being a QAnon follower is not your political leanings or your religious leanings. It's your media consumption. And so these people aren't going to change their life habits, which are staring at a computer screen all day. So if Q stops posting, they're just going to dig into old posts.
Yes.
That's all they're going to do. They're not going to change their deeply rutted habits. Would that they would, because they might come on out into the sunshine, touch some grass, but that's not their plan. And that's not what they did. QAnon followers continue to search for previously unseen clues in old posts or creating new spinoffs of the theory. They subsequently made predictions about Trump remaining president or returning to power, such as, so here when they're leaderless and wandering in the wilderness, they said these things would happen. Joe Biden's inauguration on January 10th, 2021 would be an elaborate trap set for the Democrats, who would be arrested en masse. There's a lot of en masse going on for these people, and executed while Trump retained power. Bummer for them, didn't happen. Trump would be inaugurated on March 4th, 2021 as the 19th president, because don't forget, we haven't
Yes, this was my favorite one. I was waiting for you to say this one. I waited for this one with great anticipation because I literally had taken screenshots of all of the stuff that this person I knew had said, because they would always go back and delete their posts. And I got ahead of them this time and I screenshot everything all the way up to the date. And then when they started changing it, I started DMing them the screenshots of what they had said before and saying, and why did you do this? And I'd like to think it's part of the reason they deleted their Facebook account, because they did do it. And they decided that they had a real problem sometime after that. And so, yeah, I'd like to think that that was how I helped intervention horribly, like, waterboard therapy them with their own content, basically.
So my friend Ferry, from one of our communes, we lived in the same commune. So we have a lot of the same commune friends, and some of them are constantly putting up like batshit crazy things and then taking them down after they get feedback and realize they're sounding crazy again. And so she calls it the dirty delete. And so she's always sending me screenshots, and I'm always like, I saw it and then it disappeared. She's like, you've got to screenshot it.
You have to screenshot before the dirty delete. Yes, yeah. Exactly the right idea.
Yep, you guys are on the right track. All right, so let's see here. Trump would be inaugurated again on March 20th, 2021. So it didn't happen on the 4th, so they were like, it's just going to be the 20th. The plane tickets these people are buying. After this did not happen, QAnon adherents predicted it would happen on August 13th, 2021.
Oh, okay.
They are just clear in their calendars. The Arizona audit would prove election fraud. Oh, this is another one. The Arizona audit would prove election fraud, handing the state to Trump, and other states would follow suit in a domino effect, resulting in Trump being reinstated as president.
Oh,
just not letting it go. The 2021 California gubernatorial recall election result would be proven fraudulent, which would catalyze a national fraud audit, resulting in Trump returning to power.
Right.
Oh, and then with this one we talked about, but it's one of my favorites. John F. Kennedy, who was assassinated in 1963, or his son, John F. Kennedy Jr., who died in a plane crash in 1999, would appear alive in front of a crowd in Dallas on November 2nd, 2021, and announce Trump's reinstatement as president in the installment of Kennedy Jr. as vice president.
Incredible.
Obviously.
Freaking
just so
incredible.
So simple,
and
it's
confusing thing to say. Like, I know we said this last week on the podcast, but what a weird thing to say, considering if this dude did show up, I don't think it'd be a great time. Honest to God, I really don't think it'd be great if he was just like, here I am, now let's do things collaboratively.
Also,
these people would be
care,
in disagreement.
Like, how, well, for sure, but I don't care how beloved you are. You still don't actually. And even if you, let's say you raised yourself from the dead, we still already have a president. That doesn't actually change like our election.
Oh, no, Jesse. Small potatoes. We'll just set that president aside. Your mind's not thinking big enough.
Sorry.
No, yeah. I couldn't explain the politics structures that they had devised at this time to you if I tried, because there was no structure. They would just change it literally anytime they were asked about it. I'm not even joking and trying to be like rude to these people. I watched it happen over and over and over again. Yeah. There was like no continuity between the various rationales that were coming out of the group.
No, none whatsoever. And yeah, it feels like they're all like strapped into like a haunted carnival ride on Scooby-Doo that won't shut off, right? Like you're in the roller coaster and the crazy ghosts are also in the roller coaster. And then another crazy ghost is making the roller coaster like not stop. So you're just going around and around and you're just like, wee, now we believe that Kennedy's coming back. Whoa, that didn't happen. Wee, now we think that the inauguration is going to happen March 4th. Whoa, that didn't happen. Wee, now we, you know, like, that's what it feels like. But they like the ride. They're there for the ride. Those are peaks and valleys of adrenaline. That's exciting. That's a narrative. Something's happening. Clearly nothing else is happening in your life.
No, that's it. One thing is happening. Well, but this is like what we talked about where people are consuming all of his content. There's only so much content to consume on the topics that they're interested in. They're like leaning in. It's like tunnel vision. It's getting more and more concentrated, the amount of stuff they're interested in. If these people, like we talked about, would like turn on the History Channel and learn a little bit of something about Alexander the Great, that'd be good for their brains. That'd be awesome because they're getting too drilled in on one particular track. And because of that, their ability to contrast it with the outside world is zeroing out. Like they are losing all perspective. Their blinders are on. And they are just like in these little tunnels where they are in chat forums and in messaging platforms of all types where and just being fed by other people in a lot of instances, or even just forums that are appealing in mass to the kind of ideas that they want to be a part of. And on that level, I think that if I really, 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 really think about the individual experience, I could almost begin to feel a sense of empathy because it sounds very isolated and very lonely.
No, that's when you were describing that, I was thinking this is where my empathy can come in.
Yeah, it's like I was feeling it a little bit in the pit of my stomach. Like this is truly sounds so lonely.
It's not even loneliness for me. It's actually the physicality of how sick I would feel if I were that mentally unmoored. I don't want to be wandering the moors in the fog. Right. It doesn't that and getting just bumping into this stimulus and that stimulus and constantly being falsely outraged and constantly waiting for things that don't happen. Like that physically would make me feel pasty and sick. I would hate it. I would hate it.
Ugh. So fair.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
All right. Fair. Let's talk about how much of the country these people actually make up. A Pew Research Center study in September 2020 found that nearly half of Americans had heard of QAnon. I would guess that that's grown since 2020, but probably not that much. I mean, they are who they are at this point. They've been around for a bit. A fifth of Americans had a positive view of, no, I'm sorry, not of Americans, of the half who had heard of QAnon, a fifth of those people, so not a ton of people, had a positive view of the movement. And for many believers, QAnon forms the foundation of their support for President Trump. Yes, we know that. Mr. Trump has unwittingly or not retweeted QAnon supporters. He's pretty unwitting, but I don't think that's unwitting on his part. Let's see. There was also around the same time a Yahoo government poll that found that even if they had not heard of QAnon, a majority of Republicans and Trump supporters believed that top Democrats were engaged in sex trafficking rings. And more than half of Trump supporters believed that he was working to dismantle these rings. Such a weird, I mean, it explains a lot. It explains why they're so passionate. Because they are so passionate. You know, when you see them out at rallies, they've got like all the swag on and they can't, they're just singing his praises and they're thrilled that they're going to be in his presence. It's a real, I mean, it's fascinating to me, which is, by the way, definitely how I looked at the Obama rally that I went to, but I'm just saying. No, it isn't. I wasn't wearing head to toe Obama gear. I couldn't afford it.
fair enough.
Also, they don't make that shit because Democrats never do that. We never get giant truck flags that say Biden. It's just not. Why would we do that?
To be fair, Biden is trying Democrat. And that's the funny. Well, OK, not to be fair. I think the funniest part of this is that Biden would love to sell that merch to us. I know that because I literally one time said something to the Biden administration and now they have my phone number. So they messaged me 2 times a week asking me to like join different fundraisers and they want you to buy like mugs and things that have Joe Biden's face on them. And so my favorite part of this is that it's not for lack of trying. It's that just that Democrats as people.
That's not who we are.
Like, no, you're not interested in that. So I just want to especially highlight that that's just
not our thing. Can I just say this one? There is actually a new piece of Joe Biden swag that I will actually consume if it is presented to me. And I think it is brilliant on his marketing people. Have you seen the dark Joe Biden?
Okay. Yes, I have. The dark Joe Biden is everything. And have you seen brilliant. Joe Biden tweeting it himself?
Yes, yes. It's
when
so
the Chiefs won, I lost my mind. He said, it's just the way we planned it up or something like that. And he put the dark Biden.
The
Chris
told
me that. I had to lay on the ground. It's true. It was so silly. I had to ground myself.
All right, guys, if you don't know, the Trump people actually created what's called the dark Joe Biden, because you know Trump has all those ridiculous trading cards that aren't even physical cards, and they're just like terrible Photoshop pictures of him as like Superman standing on the planet, which somehow isn't embarrassing to him. They have all these images. So they made one of Joe Biden, but it's like black background. And it's basically Joe Biden in a really dark setting with a black background and like red eyes. And it's like, this is the dark Joe Biden. And they meant it as like, he's a Satanist. We should satanic panic at him. Like, this is, you know, but the Democrats co-opted it and were like, this is ours now, bitches. And so anytime that anything goes badly for the Republicans, they put out the dark Joe Biden. He's controlling it all. And so they did it. You know, there was the big, another thing that the QAnon, I can't believe we didn't come to this. Let's wrap it with this. Don't forget that QAnon believed and disseminated the idea that Taylor Swift is an agent of the state and is faking her love for Travis Kelce so that, and then the Chiefs were cheated into playing in the Super Bowl despite there having been in like the last 3 out of 4 Super Bowls. This time, though, they were cheated into it by the government so that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, who are state agents and not really in love, could get engaged on center field after they fake won the Super Bowl and then endorse Joe Biden. And that was QAnon's real life conspiracy theory. So anyway, when the Chiefs won, Biden put out the dark Biden.
Exactly. It was very good. It was very, very good. I couldn't have been happier if I tried.
Yep. Surveys have found that conspiracy theories such as QAnon are most popular amongst what color of Americans? Pale ones. White ones.
The white ones? No.
White ones. Especially evangelicals. Also found that Hispanic Protestants are drawn to the movement in even larger proportions than anyone else in the country. 59% of Democrats have faith in the U.S. government compared to 32% of Republicans who share that view. When it comes to the news media, 57% of Democrats say they trust the institution of the news media, as compared to 20% of Republicans who feel that way. So that's all very interesting. And we do know that there are political figures in the government now who are active QAnon people. We know that shitbag Marjorie Taylor Greene just following around victims of school shootings, telling them that it didn't happen. Just a paragon of everything honorable and good in America. Big into QAnon, all about it. She also took that online soldier oath that QAnon is a fan of.
Oh, yeah.
Where they promise. Oh, here, let me read it to you right now. It's on my
next page. Please do.
Let's see here. The Digital Soldiers Conference was announced for the next month in Atlanta. The stated purpose was to prepare patriotic social media warriors for a coming, quote, digital civil war against, quote, censorship and repression. So Marjorie Taylor took that oath that she was a digital soldier. So
the digital soldier oath.
Here's a quote from her. Who isn't a digital soldier? And what a proud amount of training and discipline that must have taken for her. So that's...
Yes.
Yeah.
All I'll say.
And we also know that there are some Republicans who have stood up to this. Liz Cheney famously lost her career over it. And that is Dick Cheney's daughter. Dick Cheney, a man who literally doesn't have a human heart, who just Darth Vader's around in his black
robot
outfit.
Man. Wheeling
just
around.
Making the world a terrible place, just feeding wars and fear. That guy's daughter was smart enough to not be into this. So I think the rest of us should also be able to turn our brains on. So that brings us to the wrap-up discussion here. Are QAnon culty enough to be considered a cult? I don't usually ask this question because I think the word is subjective and relatively unimportant, but... you know, we put them in this podcast of cults I join. So I don't know. I feel like if I were going to call someone a cult, they match a lot of the descriptors. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that these guys to me fall into that cult category because of the extremity of their beliefs.
Right. Personally. Here. A couple things to support that. One article said, the inauguration was a particularly difficult prophecy to get wrong, and the result has been that some QAnon believers experienced deep melancholy, suicidal ideation, or engaged in self-harm. Those are signs you're overly involved in your online group. And that's, again, sucks. I can feel some empathy for people who are engaging in self-harm because that's how much they're engaged in this group that put out a bunch of nasty rhetoric and then yet again, it was all bullshit. There is a lot of alienation from family and friends for supporters of QAnon, but the Q people believe that these issues are temporary and primarily the fault of their family and friends. They comfort themselves by imagining that there will be a moment of vindication sometime in the near future, which will prove their beliefs to be right. And not only will their relationships be restored, but people will turn to them as leaders who understand what's going on better than the rest of us. So there's that magical thinking again, which is problematic in high control groups, right? That just as soon as everybody sees that we're right, the flowers will grow and the birds will come out and everybody will laud me as a leader because I'm not going to do the work to actually be a leader in real life. I'm just going to sit here and fantasize about when everybody sees that all this time it's me that's been the awesome one. Me who's covered in potato chip crumbs.
1,000,000%. A million percent.
There was some concern that mass suicide or mass murder would materialize after the inauguration didn't go how they wanted it to, because people who study cults call the term for that is called forcing the end. So things didn't happen the way that your leader said that they were going to happen, and then they didn't happen again, and then they didn't happen again. So you force the end. And that's you end it for everybody else or you end it for yourself. So there was a lot of concern by people who cared about people in QAnon that this would be an end forcing situation. Thankfully, it was not. Let's hope it continues not to be because we are facing another election this year. So we've got that in front of us. a little closing statement. There are some anti-QAnon subreddits specifically designed for people who have left the group and are trying to reacclimate themselves with the rest of the world and more mainstream thinking. So you guys can look for those on Reddit. There are support groups there if you're interested, if you're devolving into QAnon stuff and would like to climb back out of the hole. So there you have it. That is QAnon. So I will say this. We will discuss their fashions in a moment, but let me just say this. Don't forget, this was a cult v cult episode. So actually, we have another episode left after this in which we discuss the cult that this one was juxtaposing against. I'm very excited about it. Amarin, we're going to wrap up our talk on QAnon with discussions of whether we join the group and what we think of their outfits. But, and then I'm going to ask you the ultimate question. So think about it, which is whether you want me to tell you who the V cult is or whether you should be surprised in the next episode. So you want to hear it before. All right. So ponder that. And in the meantime, rate 1 to 10 QAnon fashion.
Yeah, this one's easy for me. QAnon fashion rating, very low. I'm so sorry, guys. I've never seen a good thing in your fashion catalog that you could specifically claim yourselves. There's the red hats. There's the other tacky clothing choices. I see those pictures and like interview videos of people at the rallies and stuff. I see the people that I see driving the big trucks with the Q and the WW letter number thing.
A lot of flags.
Bumper sticks, a lot of that stuff. Not really doing it for me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I love a good flag, but I don't love... These people just confuse me with the flag iconography because it's simultaneously, like, the most important symbol you've ever seen, and then also they can wear it all over their bodies, which for me, I'm like, is it sacred or is it not sacred?
Yeah,
like,
that gets me a lot, too.
I don't wear the American flag on my body because I don't think that, like, I think it's different if there's, like, a little one on your shirt or something.
Sure, yeah.
But I don't wear, like, a bikini with the American flag all over it necessarily because I don't know. I don't know what that means. Does that take away from the I don't know. Interested in your thoughts, listeners. But either way, I'm confused by their double standard with it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, when I go back to that European capsule wardrobe that we discussed in the last episode, I have to say the American flag doesn't come into play.
No.
That kind of a look. No. So I just aesthetically am not a fan. But I'll give them a 2 rather than a 0 for this reason. The look is very imitatable. And I think that it could make a good costume and be fun for vamping. So it's a very imitatable kind of funny look.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give them a little bit of a, like, at least they are overly costumed and you can see them coming, which I think is kind of funny and entertaining for the rest of us. So
absolutely. That
I'm
going
to hand that to them. So guys, you're going to get a 2 from me as opposed to a 0 because fashion wise, hate it. But spectacle wise, appreciate the game.
Interested in the spectacle a bit. Okay. I love it.
Easily identifiable, which I also like. I like when I'm out in a crowd to know who the cult people are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I enjoy knowing who I'm commingling with. And so QAnon people really set that up and tee it off for me. So I appreciate that. I think neither of us are joining QAnon. I don't think it's rare that I wouldn't show up for a cult potluck, but I don't think I'd show up for a QAnon potluck. It just sounds too annoying. And also I assume the level of like hot dogs and jello would be high.
I can't imagine the food would be good. I can't imagine the conversation would be good from my experience. Just nothing for me to go for, to my knowledge. The music, we already talked about how there's like QAnon music. We don't want to dwell. I don't want to hear it.
A lot of kid rock.
Exactly. There's just a lot of things that I'm thinking I don't need. And so maybe I'll just let them totally have entirely for themselves.
Side note, I lived in an anarchist collective on the East Coast for a while, and one of my housemates went to high school with Kid Rock, and he told us that in high school, Kid Rock was like a nerd who got like picked on a fair amount, but he insisted that everyone call him Kid Rock.
No way. That's a thing that's been going on for a while.
Yeah, like that's he went by that moniker in high
school. Oh God. That, you know, I don't know if that makes me more or less interested in Kid Rock as a mystique.
It turns out he also was like a rich kid, so I don't like,
less interested as a mystique. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. that turned the corner for me.
Solidified.
All right. So Amryn, you must now speak for everyone. Everyone that's listening, you're speaking for. Do you want me to tell you right now? And then we'll all wait for a week who the versus cult is for next week. Or do you want to wait and be a surprise?
I speak for the masses and I speak with great confidence and authority when I say we want to know what the V cult is. We want to know.
Okay. All right. We are doing QAnon, who we have now thankfully covered and put in the rearview mirror, versus Birds Aren't Real.
Yay! Oh my God, another cult that we have weirdly specific locational ties to. How fun for us.
Yeah, I know, right? Yep, they're from our backyard for sure.
We sure do. I, of course, already, like the crazy person I am, know quite a bit about Birds Aren't Real, so I can't wait to talk about it.
I'm so excited.
Amazing, guys. Well, don't go anywhere. It's never been done before. It's the unprecedented Cult v. Cult 3-episode special.
Yeah,
and brought to you by surprise. So definitely come back next week for yet another good episode of pretty crazy shit, if I may say something in French.
Get ready for some real solid conspiracy theories on this one, because you're all going to find out birds aren't real.
You're going to learn. You're going to learn.
All right.
Get ready.
In the meantime, we say to you, namaste.
Sleep with one eye open.
Something big is going to happen in May.
It's about the birds.
All right. Peace out. We love y'all. Oh, go rate us and review us on your platforms. Go join our Patreon. We double your fun over there. Go join our Facebook group so that we can chat with you there. I believe we have some talk going on about, what was it? Oh, conspiracy theories that we would prefer. So
yes,
yep. Get over there and
commit
do that
all the way in or don't commit at all. You know the rule, guys. I'm kidding. I'm joking. But we'd love to see more of your full-hearted sacrifice. So see you in the Facebook group.
And we'll see you next week for the other half of our Cult v. Cult QAnon versus Birds Aren't Real.
Hey, friends. If you are loving Cults I Join and want to help us share the fun, here are some actions you can take. Subscribe and share the show on any podcast platform. Rate and review us on Google. This keeps us visible and gives an angel its wings. Or at least that's what our guru says. Follow us at CultsideJoin on the .com, the Facebook, and the Insta, and then hit us there with all your comments, discussions, and questions. We really do love hearing what you think. Finally, a huge thank you to our co-creators. Editing and post-production is by DeverWeb, and the biggest thanks to the incomparable Miss Devin Spruill, our theme song creator and performer. You should go soak up her music right now. And that's it, y'all. Thanks for listening and happy culting.